Hey everybody, welcome to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and today we're talking about The Expendables 2. So I have assembled a greatest hits gallery of stars from the 1980s. With me is Mark on.
How's it going?
And Adam.
Yo.
Do your whole thing as Stallone.
There we go.
You can find our website at fthismovie.net. What?
Yeah.
What did you say? That's right, fthismovie.net. You can also still go to fthismovie.blogspot.com if you're a traditionalist. But fthismovie.net is our new URL. Find us there. Find us in the iTunes store. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fthismovie. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/fthismovie. And as always, you can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. We are going to be talking about Expendables 2, but as we usually do with new releases, we will not be spoiling things until we give a number of spoiler warnings. So if you haven't seen the movie, you're trying to figure out if you want to see it, listen in for a while, and then we'll let you know when to tune out. But before we start talking about Expendables 2, Mark,
yeah,
have you seen anything good lately?
I have. I've seen a lot of things lately. That's one thing. It's been a while. I saw Safety Not Guaranteed,
okay,
which Patrick wrote a review about, so all of you should go check that out.
Thank you.
I don't want to talk too much about it. Cause
did you like it?
I did. I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
I liked that it went in a direction that was, I thought, like, is it going to be brave enough to take this direction?
Right, right, right.
And it does.
Right.
And you walk out of the theater super happy.
Yeah.
Big smile on your face. So yeah, that's yeah. Great.
I think that's my favorite movie of the year so far.
It's up there for me.
I think
it's in the top.
It's either that or Expendables 2.
Or, right. Or Bourne Legacy, which I saw last week.
No, yes, no, talk about Bourne Legacy.
I want to hear about
sure. It. Unfortunately, it's not. It's good. It's not good. I'm really sorry. I'm gonna say, and I'm not just saying this because I just had Burger King, and so I'm all like,
yes,
fueled on 80s. But I think I enjoyed Expendables 2 more than I enjoyed Bourne Legacy.
Interesting.
Yeah, that sounds like a bold statement, yeah. But it isn't.
What you it see, really is more than I
it feels like. That was a really brave thing to say, but it really wasn't.
Who is at fault for the failure of Bourne Legacy?
It's not Jeremy Renner. Okay. He's good in what he has to do and all that stuff, but I think I will blame the people who just made that. I don't know. There's just some, it's just so vanilla and bland. Yeah. And I understand that it's a little bit difficult to, like, it's like they're starting a series, but there already is a series.
Right.
And so they're trying to start a new one, but it's like they're the old, I don't know. But it just kind of, it's not even, it's just boring.
Okay.
Is there that element of mystery, like in the, you know, like the first, mm-hmm. the first Bourne ones, you don't really know what's going on. Is there any of that in this one, or is it like, you already know everything?
No, you're
right,
because
the jig is kind of up.
Yeah,
already,
right?
Right?
I mean,
so. Yeah, it's just kind of overcomplicated. It's a very complicated, like, story.
Okay.
But then the story isn't, it's very simple. It's
right.
just complicated because they don't tell you anything.
Right, right, right.
And then when you finally, it's, like, revealed, you're like, well, that's not, what's the big deal? You know,
right.
Like, that wasn't very hard.
They
why
just had
couldn't
to dress
you
just
show,
it up.
Right,
right, right, right, right.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are chasing all these people here. Why did you have to go back to this place? And so, anyway, but those of you who want to watch Bourne Legacy, I understand because people are very invested in the Bourne series, and that's really cool, but I like if it came on cable TV again, I would probably watch it for a few minutes,
yeah.
But no need to, I don't know, it's kind of disappointing because I was really hoping for a lot. I really like the Bourne series. I don't
yeah.
know about you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was sort of disappointing. It's sort of disappointing for sure. But let's talk about good things.
Yeah.
On Netflix Instant, I watched, and some of this has been on the Netflix stuff that we do every week.
Yeah.
I watched Goon with Stifler. I never remember what his name is.
Sean Williams
Sean
Scott.
Williams Scott. Goon, he plays just like this lovable idiot, but becomes a hockey player once he beats up a hockey player in the stands. Because that happens, right? But then it's the sort of, and so you're sort of expecting it to go this one particular kind of way, like Sean William Scott being the Stifler character, but he's not. He plays it like super straight and just really honest and like he's an actual human being, sort of lovable and has feelings. And so it's really great because he just plays this really earnest role. And But yeah, it's funny, and it's sort of, like, there's a little redemption, and it's really great. So those of you who haven't seen it, I don't think a lot of people, it didn't get a super huge release, I don't think.
No, it had, like, one of those video on demand releases, and yeah. then went to Netflix Instant pretty quickly, and...
Oh, sorry,
I watched it too also because you had written about it and I thought, well, I'll give that a look. So that was one of my, what have you seen? I liked it for like the first half. I actually wasn't crazy about it.
Right.
And then by the end I was like, you know what? I actually haven't seen this movie before. I mean, it's not that it's so different because it's still sort of a traditional sports movie, yeah. but what it chooses to focus on, mm-hmm. it's not a movie that's as concerned with like the big game.
Yeah.
The focus is really on the violence in hockey. Like, yeah. there's an insane amount
yeah.
of people beating each other up.
But it's also on the why, because that's such like a silly, you would think, why do people make it their business to, like, beat the crap out of other
right.
people?
Right,
and so there's a little bit of, like, you know, Leave Schreiber?
Yeah.
He plays the other, like, enforcer. He's, like, the veteran. You know, he's been around the block a couple times. And there's this through line in the story of, like, what is it like to be this person who knows that this is your job
right.
to just beat the hell out of other people? And right. it's sort of, and he's not like, he's like thoughtful and he like is fully aware of like the
right.
absurdity of his job. And so right. it's like, it makes it really, it really humanizes the story in a really great way.
Yeah. It was interesting. I thought it came at a sort of a traditional sports movie from an angle that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. I liked it too. Another thing. I saw Beasts of the Southern Wild. I know JB talked about it recently on one of the podcasts. I'm trying to think of something to say that he didn't say.
Okay.
I was reading, sort of a separate thing. I was reading an interview with Parker Posey, and she's on,
naturally.
She's on Louis, actually.
Yeah, she's been showing up lately.
Okay. I haven't seen anything on the new season yet, but in this interview with Parker Posey, one thing she was saying was that she really likes working on Louis because... the show really, like, just focuses on people and relationships. You know, it's not about these huge set pieces or, like, super weird storytelling necessarily. It's just, like, people, and then you just put them in a room and see what happens. And her observation was that that's just sort of really missing in a lot of television and movies currently. And so in this article where I picked up that thought from her, I just felt like that really applied to Beasts of the Southern Wild. Because I think a lot of people are making a... like, it's getting a lot of attention, I think, for just the context. Like, it takes place in New Orleans, and then it's right around the time of the hurricane, that kind of stuff. So people are really reading it, like, politicizing it,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. I guess that's their... you can do that if you want to. But I don't think it's really about that. It's really just about people and relationships,
yeah.
you know?
I like that.
So, and I think that's what was really enjoyable about it. It was, like, to sort of contrast it to, like, last year, like, Tree of Life was sort of this... big talking point, but that was not necessary. It was about people, but it was also about these huge abstract ideas, and I think that's made it difficult for people to kind of access it. And this one is, it has big ideas in it as well, but it's really it's a real small frame. It's like mm-hmm. a small focus mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was really enjoyable. So anybody, like, I know it's on wider release now, but anybody who hasn't seen it, it's definitely worth your time. So
I definitely want to. I still have not. But yeah, luckily, I saw Expendables 2.
So yeah, I know.
Check that off.
Making good use of my time.
Like, you had some things to do.
Kind of stuff. Adam, what have you seen?
I went and saw Total Recall.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I want to hear about it. Okay. or no, maybe.
I did not like it at all. I saw it with Patrick, and I have not seen a movie wet itself the last 3 minutes.
Holy cow, yeah.
Like, it's like...
It already wasn't that good, but it wasn't like, okay, this isn't horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last 3 minutes...
It just falls apart, and you're like... Oh. Yeah, I was with it, like, I was kind of with it, and then all of a sudden you see this last 3 minutes, and you're just like, wow, awful. Like, I love the first one with Schwarzenegger, like, the way that ends, you know, just like, they're on this mountain, and, you know, is this real or is this fake? Just kiss me, and, you know, boom, it's done, you know, and, like, this one just feels a need to constantly justify itself the last 3 minutes.
It's almost like in that last scene, they forgot that, because they keep calling attention to the original, and it's like someone halfway through shooting the scene was like, oh wait, in the original, they reference the fact that this might be a dream. Do that! And so they throw
it. It didn't have to be Total Recall. Like, they did not have to call this movie Total Recall. No. It could have been a completely different movie.
Right.
And honestly, if it wasn't called Total Recall, I may have liked it more than I did.
Maybe, and if they had removed all the obnoxious references to the original. But, yeah, it was not good.
For a movie that, like, Mike had shown me the... He had said, you know, when they did the stuff at the San Diego Con, how they, you know, didn't, they were doing a new movie and it was completely different and they were gonna, and you're right, they're constantly
liars.
Yeah, they're constantly bringing attention to the fact that, hey, remember that movie from a couple years ago? Remember that one? Here's something from that.
So it's just the neglected, like, adopted child.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, see, I belong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sad.
Remember that whole thread of, like, reminding you, like, hey, remember this? Because we should get back to that when we talk about Expendables 2.
I will plug... I'm going to plug something. It wasn't a theatrical release, but it is a movie.
This is something you made on YouTube.
Yes, yes. I'm going to plug my YouTube channel. I've been really into the ESPN 30 for 30s.
Oh, yeah. It's on Netflix now.
Keep talking.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've watched a lot of them, and there's a lot of them that are not good. There's the one that this silly little game, which is about the creation of fantasy baseball, which is really fascinating. It's really well done. That was probably my favorite one. And then I just saw Catching Hell, which... was not released, I believe. I believe it was not released with 30 for 30 like they did them on TV, because this one was kind of taking longer to make. And it's all about Steve Bartman and him basically catching the foul ball. And it is so much bigger than about this guy who caught a ball. Like, it's about, like, how media and like using people as scapegoats and like the fever of sports. And I thought it's funny because I put it on my Facebook page. Like, I just typed on Facebook page, just got done watching Catching Hell. It's really good. I feel for the first time in my life, I feel a little bad being a Chicagoan. Like, the way we treated him, even though I'm a Sox fan, like, still, even being part of the city, I felt really bad for the way we treated this guy. And I thought, this is behind us. It's gone, right?
No.
You saw
it. There's no such thing as my Facebook wound page when it comes to sports.
Yeah,
there's
it blew
no such
up.
Thing.
I had like 40 comments on it. I'm like, I thought we were past Steve Bartman here, folks.
No, dude.
So it's really good, and it's so much bigger than what you think it's going to be about. So
Adam, did it say who? Do you remember who the director was?
I don't. He's in it.
Okay.
Like I
Michael
I don't know.
Moore.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It's also
Roger Moore. Sorry. Roger Moore.
It's there's also an aspect of it that's anti-gun control, and that's where I'm kidding.
It's weird that they brought that
in. Is there a part where he eats a bunch of McDonald's every day?
Yeah. Yeah,
no way, that's something else.
I will actually watch that. I'm not, obviously the biggest sports enthusiast, but the best documentaries are the ones that start with this one thing, and then it's like, oh my gosh, it turns into this much bigger. So that's interesting.
I
will check it out.
Cool.
Would
you rather have a hypothetically large foot or a small... No, I mean, what have you seen recently?
Whoa, weird. I will talk about two movies very quickly. I talked about Goon. I just watched a movie called Chaser, which is a Korean movie from like 2008.
Yeah.
It's not that great.
There's a lot of swearing.
It's about a guy who used to be a cop who's become a pimp, and his girls are disappearing. He thinks they're being sold off, but actually they're being murdered with, like, a tack hammer. And it was weird, because it came out in 2008, so it came before some of the movies that did the same material better, like I Saw the Devil. But watching it, I was just like, well, this is just, like, a greatest hits of the last, like, 10 to 15 years of Korean cinema. But done not as well. I thought this idea of this guy who was a cop who became a pimp was interesting, and they don't really try and redeem him all that much. But like a lot of the Korean movies that I watch, I liked the fact that I really had no idea where it was going.
Yes.
Which rarely happens when I watch American movies, because there's such a formula. So I liked that, but that just the movie I didn't think was very good.
Yeah, it was weird. I liked the, I mean, kind of like what you were saying, I liked that it was sort of this person who was supposed to be a good person, but is clearly a very bad guy.
Yeah, not
a good person at all.
Yeah.
Like, he abuses everyone around him.
Yeah.
But his behavior is that he acts like a good guy. Like, he acts like a protagonist, like, trying to solve the crime.
Right.
But the whole time, swearing into his phone, like, beating up, like, old ladies and, like, small children and men around him. It's like, all right, okay, well.
Yeah. Not the worst, but not the best. And then the other movie I'll talk about, which I won't talk about in great detail, because I think I'm going to attempt to write a review of this, and the review will
sneak peek.
Probably have come out before this podcast, so retroactively, maybe read the review if I wrote it.
Sure. All right.
Last night, I saw The Master, of the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie, in 70mm, and it was a very sort of special screening. It's only been screened once before. I think it's only been screened once in Chicago in 70mm, so I was very fortunate to see it. I don't know what to say about it. Like, I feel like the movie ended, and there were no credits yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently they haven't done those yet, so it just kind of faded to black, and then the movie was over. And I feel like, collectively, it was a sold-out audience. We all stood up and said, like, I don't know what that was. Like, it definitely wasn't bad. It's not like, oh, I can't, it's not like Dark Knight Rises, where I'm like, I don't know if I liked that or not. It's just that I don't. I was reading, like, tweets afterwards, and everyone was like, I probably need to see that again before I can make my mind up about it. It was, hands down, the best-looking movie I've seen this year in a long time. The photography is unbelievable, and not many people are going to have an opportunity to see it in 70mm, but if you find out there's a theater even within 3 hours of your house showing it in 70mm, you owe it to yourself to see it in that format. It is incredible. Mm-hmm.
So is that why he did it in 70mm? Because
I assume so. Yeah, it just sucks that, like, now he can't even really show it in that format. You know?
Yeah, it made me wonder. Like, I mean, he knew going into it, like, you
that there aren't that
many
theaters.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's really disappointing because, I mean, back in, like, the 80s and 90s, there were so many theaters that showed stuff in 70mm. Now it's all fake IMAX. The acting is incredible. Philip Seymour Hoffman is great. Joaquin Phoenix is great. I'm a huge Paul Thomas Anderson fan. It's not a question of, like, is that a bad movie or a good movie? It's just I don't know how to respond to it. I really don't.
Do you feel like you're still processing it?
Oh, for sure. Okay. But I don't know when I'm going to be done processing it. So that's why writing a review is a little daunting. But of course it's worth seeing. Because it's the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie, because it's so well acted, because the photography is so incredible, when it comes out, I think it comes out late September, everybody should go see it. I will be curious to hear everyone's thoughts, because I don't know. Awesome. I don't know what to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board. I'm sold.
It's not even like a Tree of Life thing, where it's like, that was so obtuse. I don't know what that was. It's its own crazy thing. Anyway. Let's talk about The Expendables 2, everyone.
Done.
Because speaking of a movie that just washed over me and I don't know how to process, The Expendables 2. 2 years ago, we did a podcast on The Expendables, which I think was that your first podcast?
That was my first podcast.
Wow.
It was.
Well, look at this full circle.
I know, guys.
Hakuna Matata.
It's been a heck of a ride.
Really. Here we are.
You pace your life, and your benchmarks in your life is where Expendables happen.
Really, yeah. Well, once the 80s were over, it was really difficult. But now I'm back on track.
So
It's like a high school reunion.
Yeah.
I feel like our consensus on the first Expendables was like, I kind of liked it, but I shouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
So real quick, let's roundtable your reaction to Expendables 2.
I liked it better than the first one.
Okay. All right, Adam.
I think that's all I got for now.
You know what? I'm gonna say the exact same thing I said when the movie was over.
Yeah.
Credits rolled. I turned to Patrick and I said, "Well, it's kind of like ordering spaghetti and getting spaghetti. Like, that's exactly what I want."
It's a good line. Oh gosh, I think it was better than the first one.
Yeah, I think so.
I agree. I think it was,
but I also don't think it's very good.
Yeah,
and again. I don't want to get, like, into a philosophical debate, because obviously we should just talk about Expendables 2, but I just feel like we're at a point now where, okay, so I'm going to go on record as saying, like, I wasn't crazy about it, even though I love all the movies that caused it to exist in the first place. I love all the 80s action movies right. that all made all these guys famous. I love all the movies that it's sort of paying tribute to. But I come off as the asshole when I say I didn't like it because the reaction is like, well, what did you expect? It had all these guys and they were shooting guns and they killed people.
Right.
And it was stupid, just like those other movies were stupid. And so now I'm the jerk for like expecting something better, right? But I don't know that I am. And so I just was frustrated because I just felt like it felt lazy to me.
No, I agree with that. Because I think in the... like, in all those original movies from the 80s that we all saw and enthusiastically adore, I think there was something really honest about... Honest is a weird word. Right? But there's something really honest and genuine in what they were doing.
Right.
Like Rambo, like, whatever, Chuck Norris, all that stuff. They were just... they were totally in it, and they completely were selling it, and they were in it. And I think the laziness that we're... I think we're all detecting in this movie and in the first one as well. It was just that now it's just like, it's like a wink at the camera while they're doing, it's like, hey, check it out. I'm in the frame with Bruce Willis.
You mean Arnold Schwarzenegger, the entire purpose in this movie.
Yes.
Every single thing he said, and we'll get into specifics when we talk about spoilers, but every moment that Schwarzenegger's on screen, it's just like, remember me from the
80s? Yeah. And so So they're just selling the story, Adam. They're just selling on they're just dealing on our like our nostalgia, but then they're not actually doing anything genuine. They're just kind of reliving our memories.
And I feel like more and more of our pop culture is doing that. That it's just trading in on our nostalgia for things without knowing what to do with it at all. And it's like, so this is good because it's like this other thing. I don't know if that's enough for me.
Right.
I think that there was. I mean, what I got from that is, like, when the guys in the 80s were making these movies, I think genuinely, in their heart of hearts, they were trying to do something new. They're trying to do something fun and original. And this is just, like, almost, it's not even satirizing it. Like, it's just trying to redo it.
And right, it's like, but it's doing a bad job of it. And that's what I don't get. Like, if you really want to make the best possible version of this 80s action movie, and a lot of the elements are there. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, like, this should have been the Avengers, like, of 80s action movies. This should have been...
Right.
All of these guys individually have made better movies than The Expendables 2. And it shouldn't be... This should be the sum of all that greatness, you know what I mean? And, like, everybody should get their moment on screen, and everybody should... It should be aware of what makes these guys work. Beyond this superficial level of, like, this guy said, I'll be back. This guy played Lone Wolf McQuade. Like, that's not what makes them... That's not what made them movie stars. Figure out what it was that made them stars, and then try and work that into your movie, instead of just expecting us to like it because you put them all in the same frame.
Yeah, I think the first one was sort of forgivable in that because... Like, Stallone, didn't he direct it, the first one?
Yeah.
So, there was a little bit of grace, just because you're like, oh, like, it's, hey, it's like a new, it's sort of like a new idea. So
right.
So, you're willing, and like, well, Stallone's not really a director. So, if it, like, looks crappy, you're like, well, that's, like, kind of in the back of your mind.
Tell that to the movie Staying Alive.
Right. Well, I won't. Adam will.
but, all right, I'll do it.
All right, so yeah, Adam, we'll see you in a couple of days. But for this one, like, they got, like, an actual director... You know,
yeah,
they got
sure. someone, if you're going to call Simon West an actual
he's
director.
He's made a movie before.
He did. He made Con Air.
I know.
And The Mechanic.
Oh, that's right.
And, wait, I can't remember if he made the first or the second Tomb Raider. I feel like he made the first Tomb Raider.
That's
and then
a
the
hell of a resume, either way.
But, like, all of the movies, not great. But, like, watchable and
yeah, yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
And, so, I felt like... well, just to get into this too, like that the first one I felt like was a movie trying to look like a movie, but wasn't a movie. This one was like, oh, this looks like a movie.
Right.
But then it's like, oh, it's not a good movie though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it also tells me too that it's like, they got all these guys together. Like even maybe, I don't know if this is because I don't read about any of these things. Like they got all these guys together who were these action stars and like, they don't even know why they were awesome action stars.
Right.
And like, they're like, hey, if we just get together, it'll work, right, guys? And then, no, that's like it's like twice in a row now. You got this for the first Expendables, and then this one, they still haven't, like, figured out why it's awesome that they were 80s stars, really.
And maybe that's what was frustrating to me. Like you said, I was willing to cut the first one some slack, as I think we all did, because it was a novelty. It was like, boy, these guys haven't been in a movie that came out in theaters for years. You know, Dolph Lundgren hasn't been on, like, an actual movie screen since Johnny Mnemonic. So, hey, it's great to see him again. But, yeah, and it didn't work. So then you think, okay, for the second one, they need to learn from their mistakes and, like, figure it out. I just wish they had done a better job of trying to learn from the mistakes of the first. I thought hiring somebody else to direct was a step in the right direction, because yes. I thought that was a big problem with the first movie, was that Stallone shot all the action so poorly. But I didn't feel like Simon West did that much better of a job. It was like,
oh, yeah.
There was no concept of time. That was the thing that killed me.
Yeah. And it was so overly busy. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. There's such a thing as, like, pacing in an action movie. And sometimes you can just do wall-to-wall craziness, like
The Raid,
right?
Yeah,
and that's the point of that movie. It's just like, how much can we do in this one movie? But you still got a sense of like, okay, this guy knew exactly what he was doing. That was his goal. And I feel like in Expendables 2, it's just how fast and loud and frenetic can we make this? But I feel like that steps on, without spoiling anything, there's maybe 5 or 6 moments in the movie that we are all like, oh, that's awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
And every one of those is something that the movie took its time for and like allowed you to see what was happening, you know, like not to call it like a visual joke, but like a gag a lot of times,
right.
You know, with involving violence. It allowed you, it paused to show you this thing, and it was like, oh, that was awesome. And like, do that more, instead of just constant craziness.
Right. Well, like Dolph Lundgren throwing a chicken.
Like Dolph Lundgren throwing a chicken.
Spoiler, everyone, sorry. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to give that away.
It was definitely a good time. Graphic chicken throwing.
Well, because we also, all of us were sitting there, and we all laughed, obviously, at the same time.
Yeah.
Because then you go backwards in time and think about Simon West, or whatever, the AD saying, like, okay, action on Dolph, go! And how many chickens were thrown?
Right.
Was it the same chicken?
Did he have a bunch of farm animals? Was it goat and then chicken?
Right, we were like, all right. It had nothing to do with the story.
This movie is full of weird beats, not as weird as the chicken throwing. This is not a spoiler, but there's a moment where the guys are kind of holed up in this little house thing. And they're eating, they're all eating, and they're eating, like, 20-year-old canned goods, except for Terry Crews, who apparently has prepared himself rigatoni.
He's an epicure.
And that's the closest thing to, like, a character development that he gets. Like, oh, he pampers himself with rigatoni. And the next morning, he's drinking a cup of coffee, right? And Randy Couture says, I know this is a stupid question, but is there any more coffee? And he says, it only makes one cup. And then the movie continues, and I kept waiting for, like, there's a punchline, right? There's a payoff.
Are they going to go back to the coffee
thing? There's literally anything that makes that exchange worthwhile. No. It's just this weird exchange about coffee.
Or, yeah. Like, you know, whenever Chuck Norris is on the screen, and you're like, what is going on right now in this movie?
I don't.
It's like Chuck Norris won a contest, or like he's someone's dad who won a contest.
You could win a walk-on role in Expendables 2.
No,
that's exactly what it is. Because I couldn't, when he was, the way that, I don't know if this is going to spoil things, but just like all the other guys, most of them generally are, they've got their like tough guy suit on, you know, like, this kind of tough noises, you know, I'm aggressive. But then Chuck Norris's appearances are just like, he's picking up his kid from school.
Right.
You know,
he has his bad dyed beard, His voice is like
higher than everybody else's.
Yeah.
In a way that's not intimidating at all. Yeah. And you know, and to the movie's detriment, unfortunately, everybody's voice is so low. I mean, between Stallone and Dolph Lundgren, it's
Statham,
like,
all of them.
You can't understand what anybody's saying half the time in this movie because their voices are so low.
I'm
going to
talk about that.
It's not even the words. He doesn't say this, but like his attitude, like the demeanor of all the words that he says is like, hey guys, how's it going? Yeah. It's like the way that an adult would speak to children. And it's just like, did you just finish your golf round, Dad? Like, what are you doing?
I already have no affection for Chuck Norris, and I've talked about this before in like the heavy action columns. I hate the whole ironic Chuck Norris, like, jokes about, like, yeah, he doesn't sleep, he waits, and all that. And this movie does one of those, and one of those, another stupid winking, like, get it? I'm saying a Chuck Norris joke. So Chuck Norris is already the worst, right? And then he tries to make this movie a PG-13. That was the only way he was going to participate. And thank God that got overruled, because one of the only things this movie has going for it is the insane amounts of bloodshed.
Guys, Sorry, we'll get
I know, you don't want to say that. Thank God it's not a PG-13, right? So, okay, Chuck Norris, you didn't screw the movie up too badly, but then he shows up on screen, and it's like, you are the worst, right? You are horrible. I would rather watch Randy Couture, who I have no affection for, and who's not an action hero, and who doesn't belong in this movie, but I would take him over Chuck Norris.
Yeah, because he's in the right movie.
Right, yes.
Chuck Couture knows what movie he's in.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris doesn't... I don't know.
No, and we'll talk more about the Chuck Norris appearances when we get into
I'm going to talk about something you just bring up. Right. I felt like an old man in this movie. Like, at least once every 5 minutes, I'd be like, what did you say?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah. What just happened?
It's like, hard to understand.
Yeah.
Partially because, like, you know, Stallone's voice is so low. He's very inarticulate. Dolph Lundgren, kind of same thing. Statham has, like, an accent that sort of... But part of it, too, I think, was just the sound mix. Like, they weren't that concerned with making the dialogue intelligible. Thank God, because this movie has horrible dialogue.
Awful.
And that's another thing. Like, just write some decent dialogue. It doesn't all have to be, like, super clever or fast or whatever. But, like, it's all bad. And there's all these jokes, and not one of them comes close to ever being
but they're not jokes.
Funny.
Yeah.
Even in the way that, like, those 80s movies, like, they had a lot of one-liners, and they weren't good, but, like, there was something entertaining about them.
Right.
And in this, they're just, like...
It's not even sarcastic. They're trying to be sarcastic, but they're not sarcastic.
All that,
they don't know what sarcasm
is. All that banter between Statham and Stallone, like, what is this dynamic? You guys just...
I'm trying to think what the line was. When you talk about that great moment, and then right afterwards, Stallone says something and just ruins that entire great moment.
I know exactly what the line is, but I don't want to give it away. We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
But real quick, let's talk about things that you liked better about this movie than about the first one.
I liked that this one was a movie, whereas the one before was like, the first one was like trying to be a movie, but really wasn't.
Right.
This one was actually a movie.
There's sort of a plot.
Yeah.
Kind of.
There's something I could follow and understood what was going on in a way.
There was some like organization of like, I don't know. I could tell, like, this guy's on that side.
Right.
I like that Jean-Claude Van Damme was in it.
Yes.
Which is just a treat. And he
woefully underused.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Because he's awesome whenever he's on screen, and they don't really use him.
No, and they force him to like, talk more than they should.
I know, but I was mesmerized when he talked. I really was.
I really wanted to see more... Jean-Claude fighting.
Don't challenge me.
Yeah.
Which was...
My favorite was, I like Simba.
No, I couldn't understand what he said. He just can we give it... I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, okay, it's sort of a minor spoiler. Like, okay, so Jean-Claude Van Damme's character... What was his name? I don't even know what it...
I don't know.
I couldn't even catch it. It was like Belair...
Call him Jean-Claude.
It's Jean-Claude.
It doesn't even matter what his name is. Right.
Yes.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's what all that matters. And so he's a bad guy, and then he has a neck tattoo on the right side of his neck, which is a goat, because he's, like, the devil, whatever. And then he says, Patrick, say the line.
Well, he was looking at Stallone's knife, and he was asking what the symbol was, because there's skulls on everything, because I guess we're supposed to believe that in his free time, Stallone, like, goes to stores and has special-made...
Skull stuff.
Skull pens.
Like, he goes to Hobby Lobby.
Right, yeah, he got a special-made skull pen.
I'd like some pipe cleaners, and I would like some skulls. Thank you.
And so he's asking, like, oh, what is Simbo? I like Simbo.
I didn't get it. I was like,
that was my favorite line. Like, what did you say? I like Simbo. I like Simbo.
He didn't just say Simbo. Oh, yeah, I did. And then it's silence, not just our reaction, silence in the movie.
But again, he's trying to do something. He didn't go, like, so crazy over the top, but he's right. Very sort of, like, ridiculous, you know? Like, he's playing a ridiculous part, and that's good, and that's interesting, because, again, in the first movie, they just had that dude from Dexter, like, and Eric Roberts is, like, an evil senator. He wasn't a senator, but, like, the villains were super boring. And the villain in this is much better, even though he's hardly in the movie.
Yeah. I think the action was a little bit better on this one, too, than the first one.
Yeah.
It was just, I think the first one, sometimes it just devolved into, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Who's where, who threw what to whoever. So,
yeah.
I think those are good things.
I agree with you, there's more of a plot, but I mean, that just that opening scene really didn't have anything to do with the rest of the movie, but like, I mean, I liked watching it, you know? Sure. I mean, I was like, this is great action, I don't know what the hell's going on, but this is a lot of fun right now, you know?
Right,
and
right.
The action scenes it's a little overkill at times, but you can't accuse it for being shoddy filmmaking, you know? I mean, it's...
There's more action, I just did, again, you can just point to so many action movies, and it's not fair, you know, you can't compare every movie to Die Hard or whatever, but just like... There's guys who really know how to stage action, and then there's Simon West, who's just like, more noise, more stuff, you know, just more business, and like, that's not quite the same thing. One thing I liked about this movie more than the first one was that it focused more on the team dynamic, because I don't think there is really a team dynamic, but it focused more on the group. Like, these guys were in a lot of the movie, and the first movie, I remember... split everybody up.
Jason,
like,
Statham and Stallone were like it.
Yeah, pretty much, right? And then Jet Li's like at the beginning and the end, and Dolph Lundgren, and this whole movie, and Dolph Lundgren is a good guy, and he was one of my favorite things about this movie again, because again, he sort of came up with a character to play. It's not great, but like, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's his shtick. Oh, he's crazy. But I'm sitting there wondering, like, he was a bad guy in the first movie. He was trying to kill them. Like, how did they get over that? And I know they got over it by the end of Expendables 1. They're like, well, he's a drug addict, so no harm, no foul. But it's weird to see him fighting alongside them. Like, do you guys remember when in the last movie he tried to murder you all? They're a forgiving bunch, I guess, which is nice.
They're all okay with it.
Oh, I also like the other Hemsworth. I don't know which one it was.
That was Liam.
Liam?
Yes.
Because there's three of them, right?
There's Chris, who is the one that I kind of have a crush on. Then there's Liam.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Who's marrying Miley Cyrus and is in the Hunger Games. And then there's like...
I just had a heart attack. I don't want to live anymore.
Shemp.
Frito.
Or Harpo Hemsworth.
Yeah. Is there a Mo?
Talks through an iPod.
Mo Hemsworth. okay.
I thought he was like, really good. He's kind of schlubby. Listen.
He was all right. I just said it was one of the things I enjoyed. But no, please.
He was better than the others.
Yes.
Because when I saw Hunger Games, I remember thinking like, oh, he's not a very good actor. Right. And then in this, it was like, look at you showing everybody up. You're much better than these guys. But that's probably a good place to move into spoilers, because there's some things that I have to say about Mr. Hemsworth.
And, well, just real quick, before we go on to that, real quick, what'd you think of the Asian girl in it? I thought she was all right.
She was fine, but it was just, she's an unnecessary character. And the first movie did this too. And this is true, I think, of Liam Hemsworth. It's like, why is she in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like to sort of set up a possible love interest for Stallone? Not really. And the first movie did this too. It's like, well, we have to have a woman in there somewhere, because somebody decides like that way women will want to see this. No, they won't. And I don't know this actress, and maybe she has a following. I don't know. But I just kept thinking, like, why not cast Michelle Yeoh? Like, why not cast somebody
who's right.
Who's known for doing, even Zoe Bell, like cast somebody, you know?
Like, well, like, and I see, like, when you see a movie like this, you think, Total Recall, oh my god, I'm blanking, what's the name of the girl in there?
Kate Beckinsale, Jessica Biel?
Yeah, both of them. Like, I look at they're that, I'm like, person. Yeah, I'm like, well, okay, they're attractive girls, and I can understand, like, hey, we're gonna have an action movie and put two attractive girls in it.
Sure.
She's not, I mean, she's a good-looking girl, but she's not Jessica Biel, I mean...
Well, right, but that so she's not there for eye candy.
Yeah, she's not there for eye candy.
She does a little bit of fighting and handles herself fine, but it's not like she gets a big showcase where you're like, oh, I get why they cast her. She's, her purpose in the movie made no sense to me.
Okay.
Agree. I just didn't know.
All right, so let's move into spoilers. If you have not seen The Expendables 2, here's the thing. This movie's critic-proof. Like, you either know you're going to see it, or you'll never see it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the kind of movie it is. You either can't wait for this movie, or you'll never see it in your life, because why in the world would you? So, the point of this podcast, I guess, is, there isn't a point to this podcast, because we're just...
We're just hanging around talking about...
We're either preaching to the choir, or we're trying to convince people that we'll never see this movie. So, spoilers for Expendables 2... coming up now. You were saying, sir, about Mr. Hemsworth.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite parts. No, it's not. It's not even a favorite. It's just whatever. There's a part where Hemsworth's character dies, everyone. He dies. And then...
did we see the same movie?
Yeah, we did. We really did. And then, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme is, you know, he's the bad guy. He dispatches him in this sort of especially gory way. And it's like, oh, it's like we're supposed to feel sad because Hemsworth's character, he's like, he's the young guy and he follows orders.
He's got a girl.
He always says, yes, sir. And he's got a French girlfriend named Sophie, which we find out later. And he writes like a kindergartner. I don't know. He's got this, like, letter, you know, that you send back to your war bride.
Well, by the way, it doesn't matter that it's personal, because Sly Stallone's killed everybody.
I was still wishing, too, the letter was just like, these guys are a bunch of fucking assholes. I swear to God.
Oh, right, but just saying something, like, super inappropriate, just like...
Or, like, horribly racist.
Right.
This litany of, like, horribly racist things about Terry Crews and Jet Li. Just like, oh my God, where did this come from?
Or just gives away, it's just like this confessional of all these embarrassing things that everybody else does. Like, this guy wears, like, women's underwear. Oh my gosh, I need to get out. All right, anyway.
Anyway, none of that stuff happened.
But that movie would have been awesome for 5 minutes. So Hemsworth...
And we redeemed it.
So getting back, Hemsworth character dies in this sort of gory way, and then...
And they pile rocks on top of him and read his shit.
Right, because they got time to, like, dig and, like, whatever. And I whisper over to Patrick...
We wanted a kidney to a kidney.
Do you know how much these cost? And I lean over to Patrick and I said, oh, oh, the best actor in the movie just died, right? And we were like we're halfway through, maybe, and I was like, oh God, just this is what's gonna happen. So anyway, sorry.
And that's true, they do. They take out sort of the best actor in the movie about halfway through. But again, I kinda had a problem with it because I guess that's the motivation for the rest of the movie, but like I just don't know how on board I can get with, like, oh, we have to revenge Liam Hemsworth, a character we just met.
It's not like he was in the last movie.
Actor who carries no baggage or weight. He's not, like, a beloved action star. Right. Like, have it be Chuck Norris, and then kill off Chuck Norris, and then it's like, well, yeah, you gotta go get revenge for Chuck Norris. That guy's a douche. obviously, Chuck Norris isn't gonna agree to be killed in the movie, but, like, I think I read originally... that the Mickey Rourke character was supposed to be killed off very early in the movie. And that, I guess, makes more sense. It's like, well, they were friends with him, and he's in the first... I can't get that excited about, like, hey, guys, let's fight for Billy the Kid.
We piled rocks by the way, his name's Billy.
Yeah.
He's the guy in the World War II movie that dies right away.
He's like dead meat in Hot Shots. Yeah. Like, he's, I got a girl back home, and I'm just going to, I want out of this job, and, oh, okay, yeah, we know you're going to die. And also, what is with that scene? They're on the plane, maybe? And Maggie, the girl, says, like, what's your story? And then he gives a long monologue about being in the war.
That really isn't... I mean, that's... I kind of wanted to be like, so you were in a war. I mean, that's what you're telling me.
Right, it wasn't even a story.
Yeah, it wasn't
even... Because they're like, what's your story? And I thought he was going to talk about, well, this is where I'm
You thought
from.
He was going to tell a story?
Yeah. Right, he just said...
Provided some background information.
Oh, so it was in a war, and then some people shot at me at this war. And
then,
they
killed my dog.
And then they killed my dog, and I had enough shooting. So I got out of there.
So you joined another
group of mercenaries.
Where your job is a sniper.
Well, that means you shoot Ryan.
You're the crazy guy.
Right, you're not even like the pilot.
Yeah.
You're not the guy that just drives them around. You shoot things. Right.
So I felt like that was added in after the fact, after they were like, either to attract a star to that part or to, like, give Liam Hemsworth a little something extra to do. Like, well, let's give him a little speech. Because it's another one. It's that coffee scene. Again, it's just like, what is this doing in your movie? Why is this here? It doesn't really inform the character. It doesn't set anything up. It doesn't do anything. And I just didn't understand why Maggie was like, so what's your story? She's constantly asking questions and, like...
Yeah.
And, like, flirting with everyone.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
She has a moment, I think, with each one of the... Pretty much. Like, she's got a moment with Stallone.
The movie should have ended with those guys pulling a train on her. I would have gotten my money's worth.
Hey, all right! Longest intro to porn ever.
So and anyway, other action stars could literally just show up just for that part.
Hey, guys.
So it's like Wesley Snipes showed up. I'm just like, hey, thanks I heard we were banging an Asian girl.
Thanks for sticking it right. I'm dying for some Chinese.
Get in here, passenger 57. He's like, always bet on black. I don't know.
Hey guys, thanks for sticking around to the end of the credits and scene.
You're gratuitous porn.
Wow. Yeah. Well, just yeah, it was weird.
So weird. Let's talk about. Let's go back to Chuck Norris.
Oh God, it was
being the worst.
And hey guys,
the movie does this in more than one instance where it backs the characters into an unwinnable situation, and then it gets them out of it by dropping in a dude from the 80s, and yeah, like, hey guys, I showed up, I had no way of knowing your position, I had no way of knowing you guys were here, or that you were in the middle of a firefight, but here I am to save the day! And first it's Chuck Norris, who shows up out of nowhere for a ridiculous, idiotic cameo, where he drops a Chuck Norris joke, and they keep making references to, like, you're a lone wolf, oh, I can't stop throwing up in my mouth. And then it happens a second time, when they're all trapped in a mine, for no good reason, because this movie takes a weird detour into, like, we have to save the women and children from being made into slave labor.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's Temple of Doom or something. And out of nowhere, Schwarzenegger shows up, again, having no way of knowing where they are or the fact that they're trapped in a mine, shows up and saves them so that he can say, I'm back.
And am I the only person who really wanted Dolph Lundgren to get them out of that situation?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I want the crazy guy to actually
especially show, because all that shit that they say about him being like a Fulbright scholar, that's all true of Dolph Lundgren. That mm-hmm. guy is a genius, and I liked that they were making that part of his character, but instead it's just a goof.
Yeah.
And then Schwarzenegger saves them with that tunneler machine from Total Recall. And no one said, like, Benny, screw you! Alright, so we're at Schwarzenegger. Let's talk Schwarzenegger.
Can I just go back? I'm sorry. I really want to talk about Chuck Norris. He's the worst part. Again, this to me was the worst part about the movie. Okay, was they don't know if they want to be serious or a complete joke.
Right.
It's like you're dealing with a guy who died and you're trying to get revenge with him, and they're talking about slave labor, and, like, serious subjects, and then there's that moment, and I turned to you, I was like, this is really awkward. Like, they're making jokes, like, in the middle of, like, this, like, they're trying to make the movie serious, and they're just making this joke.
Right.
And I was like, this is really weird.
Chuck Norris is the worst, and he shows up for that one scene where he rescues them out of nowhere, and then he just leaves, and it's like, well, this was a stupid cameo.
Right.
Because that's all it basically is. And I didn't, because at that point, I didn't know he was going to show up again at the end, out of nowhere. And what I thought was, the way that it's set up is, a bunch of guys are shot from off screen, and then Chuck Norris shows up, and basically was like, yeah, I did that. And then he leaves. And I was like, oh, so was this the compromise? Like, the movie's not going to be PG-13, but we're not going to show you shoot a gun, Chuck Norris.
Oh.
All the violence happens, like, off screen. But then when he shows up again at the end of the movie, he's totally going to shoot a gun. And he gets one of the best gags in the movie with that x-ray.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I love that.
So Chuck Norris does get one pretty sweet moment. But I know there are people that have affection for Chuck Norris who are just happy when he's on screen, the way I was every time Van Damme was on screen. Like, I liked it when he was on. And Scott Adkins, who's awesome, woefully underused, and then just chopped up in a fucking helicopter.
Right?
Like, Scott Adkins, you deserve better than that. And The funny thing is, we all reacted. We all knew it was coming.
I was like,
there's a fucking helicopter blade. Right? We know exactly where this is, and yet when it happens, we're all like, oh Jesus.
It's especially graphic. We can go to Schwarzenegger now.
Listen, in the first Expendables, one of the things that I liked, and this is the same thing that I'm chastising the movie for, like, just playing on my nostalgia, right? But I didn't care. In the first Expendables, when Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Willis were in the same scene, I was like, I like this. I don't care.
Yeah, great.
They're not doing anything. All their dialogue is horrible. They're not very good actors, but I am enjoying seeing them all on screen together. And I did have that moment late in this movie when Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis show up, and there's a point where Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis are all standing in a row firing these huge, and like, it, that's cool, you know, like, yay, I love that. And I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, I've always loved him, he's probably my favorite of every action star, but basically every moment he's on screen in this movie.
It hurts.
Yeah, right?
It hurts. He's got like a... He looks strange now.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, these are all older dudes. They're all actors. Like, whatever. They got some work done. I love Van Damme, but those bags under his eyes.
Every time I was like, leave the sunglasses on.
Yeah. That's probably why.
He looks cool with the sunglasses, and then he
takes them off. It's like, oh, Jesus. God.
All right. It's not.
Denny's is open at 3. See you later. But then Schwarzenegger, and they also the obligatory, like, all the trailers that these guys, the movies that these guys are in at the show before this movie. Yeah. And even in the Schwarzenegger movie that he's going to be in where he's the sheriff, I forgot. The Last Stand, yes. That's not a cliche at all.
Kim Ji-woon.
Right, it will, I know, what a waste, jeez.
Maybe anyway, it'll be awesome.
I hope so.
Me too.
But Johnny Knoxville's in it, so anyway. You can watch the trailer, Doug covered it, so trailers with Doug's. And he just looks weird, you know, like his hair
is
all like...
What is with his hair?
Unnecessarily spiked up. Yeah. He looks so strange.
Yeah.
How many... Oh my, I just want... Like, how much money went into this movie? You couldn't find somebody to be like, Mr. Schwarzenegger, right?
Can we just grow your hair out?
Right.
Can we just do something?
And again, he says there's like three variations on I'll be back, I'm back, I'll be back,
again.
I'm tired of you being back.
And then there's when he starts saying lines from other movies.
And that... There was like a 45-second chunk in this movie that existed just to reference other movies. Because, he says, I'll be back. And then Bruce Willis says, I'm tired of you being back. I'll be back. And then Schwarzenegger out of nowhere says, yippee-ki-yay.
Like,
so they all know
just
that...
Just happened.
They all know that they're in a movie
Bruce Willis
was in Die Hard.
Right.
Here's what I feel like they did. It's kind of like when... Like rappers, the rappers will do the rap, like, they'll do their rap, and then in the back they've got the hype track, where they're just in the back going, I feel like Schwarzenegger's lines exist solely to chop them up and put them in a trailer.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
That's all he was there for.
Yeah, pretty much. It's so frustrating, because again, it's like, the audience that's coming out to see your movie is coming out because they like all these movies. They don't need to be spoon-fed reminders of, like... That's why they're there. You're not patting anyone on the back. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel great for catching the reference when he says yippee-ki-yay. I'm not like, ooh, I get that. Of course I get that. I'm at Expendables 2.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to get that.
Right.
You know, the referencing Dolph Lundgren as a Fulbright scholar is a little bit better because, like, you have to know something about Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
There was even a moment early on when they're rescuing Schwarzenegger where they pull the hood off and he says, like... Maybe it's later. He says, I'll be back. His first I'll be back is followed by, like, a few seconds of, like, the Terminator music. Did you guys notice that?
No.
The dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's real quick. And what's with the fucking Good, the Bad, and the Ugly music showing up every time Chuck Norris is on screen?
Yeah.
He's not in the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Right.
It was weird.
He was in Walker, Texas Ranger.
It becomes, like, super...
Is desert-y.
It just becomes super campy. Like,
yeah, the music was... I'm going to be the idiot that talks about the music in Expendables 2.
All right.
I'm that guy right now.
What else are we going to talk about?
just sort of referencing... Adam, you said earlier that you just felt like an old man because you couldn't hear, like... Another thing that made me feel like an old man was that the music that they used in the movie... made me feel like an old man. Because, like, this is, like, what a dude who's, like, 55, who's at a wedding, but not the dancey stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
all
yeah.
the music that they played in. Right. Like, it's just, like, rocking to friggin', I don't know.
It was
like,
all blues. It was, like, all, like...
More like oldies or, yeah. like, classic rock.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
just, there's nothing like shooting up dudes. Because, get it,
these guys are classics.
Yeah.
But all the music... comes from before they were making movies.
Right.
And I understand they probably can't put, like, Duran Duran in The Expendables 2, but, like, that's what was on the radio and these guys were making movies. Yeah,
like,
right.
when they're sitting there drinking the coffee, listening to Rio. It would have been awesome.
It's constantly, ooh, yeah, it's like a little Gloria Stefan and yeah. Miami Sound Machine would have been better. Because nothing says, like, top of the morning to you, mercenaries, like, playing some, it just, I was like, what is this music? Like, what is this, like, and it's also just, if that happens, like, a couple of times, then that's, like, okay, fine, whatever. But it's also, it's just pervasive.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, hey, we're having a good old time at this bullet wedding.
Well, the structure of the movie is such that, like, we have a big, noisy action set piece where they shoot guns. And the body count in this movie is astounding. Right.
From just Chuck Norris alone.
Yeah, right. we have that. And then we cut to a scene of, like, all of them hanging out, listening to, like... classic rock.
Sure.
And then we get the action scene, and then we get back, and the hangout scenes are like, oh, not another hangout
it's
scene.
It's an eternity. And this movie was, I think, it was like 85 minutes, 90
it
minutes?
It was short, yeah. yeah.
But it felt interminable.
yeah.
It was just like, oh, it's a way, like, it's cool that it's an action movie, like, right. just pack it all in, dude, just be shooting guns all, you
right.
just, the, you know, just do it up big. But then just the like just the moments in between is just let's yeah. go for an action movie. This is just me. I just felt like I kind of wish there was a little bit more action. Just because not that there wasn't enough. It just was because the times in between it were just
right. But that's because the times in between yeah. were so bad. It's like you have guys who aren't great at acting delivering terrible dialogue that's supposed to be funny, I guess. I don't
it's
know.
Like they took their time with the wrong things. Because I said, one of my biggest issues with this movie is like the hey, we have to get across the country. Or we have to go across the world. We're in New Orleans now, right, and we're right. going to be in Afghanistan a couple hours yeah, max. Like, right. no.
Everybody get on the propeller plane.
Right. Yeah,
we'll be there really soon.
Right?
Cripes. Excuse me, propeller seaplane.
Right?
There were, again, there's a handful of moments that are like stand up and cheer moments. Chuck Norris with the X-ray is pretty sweet.
I loved, my favorite scene in the movie is when they go and they kill all those guys that come into the village, and there's like just them, and just Stallone yells out, "There's one more!" And they
all of them, guy,
yeah, they all murder
one guy, and it's outstanding, and you want to stand up and applaud.
And then what does he say? I don't remember.
Rest in pieces.
Yeah, rest in pieces. That was worth it just to hear his Stallone impression.
That's the worst yeah. shit ever.
Yeah.
Why does he have to say anything? Like, we're all laughing. That's what you guided this moment towards, right? Why? It's a hat on top of a hat. Yeah. It's like, no, you don't need an extra laugh, assuming anyone laughs at rest in pieces. Like,
yeah.
When was that ever a good line, rest in pieces?
It's like, when that moment happened, I, like, I didn't see if you enjoyed that. I think you enjoyed that part.
Did.
Yeah, like,
it's awesome.
We all were like, yes, it was awesome. And then right afterwards, like a second later, it's rest in pieces, and it was like, oh,
right.
It's like you saw the girl's butt, and then she turned around, and you were like, oh, I'm sorry.
I was ready to go. I was like, you're making out with Elle Macpherson, and you pull her pants down, she has a dick.
Yeah.
Hey-o. Which for me, by the way, is totally fine. I don't care.
All right, well,
for future
reference, oh, no,
Elle McPherson with a penis. If you're listening, I will not judge you.
If you want to be in Expendables 3, the porn, that's okay.
Well, we already made that movie. I think like 10 minutes ago.
I'm just so frustrated because so many of the elements are there for like a cool movie. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be a great movie, but why can't it be the best possible version of this movie? And I don't feel like anyone's interested in making that.
No. They just want to collect. Yeah, they just, you know, just
everybody's in this for. I feel like no, everybody's in this for the paycheck.
Yeah, like Jet Li was in there. Like he probably had
to. What the hell was that, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is Jet Li doing that he couldn't do this movie?
Look, guys, he had stuff to do. Okay, he's got some videos to return.
He's gonna jump out of a fucking plane.
It was so bizarre. Like, why have him back at all? Why not just? I mean, and he did have like. At least one cool thing where it's this long extended take where he beats the shit out of guys with some pots and pans. And like, again, at least it was some action that took place uninterrupted, which most of this movie didn't do. None of the first movie did. It's like, if you're going to have Jet Li in your movie, have him do some shit. Like, don't just have him shoot guns, which is kind of what the first movie did. Like, have him show off a little, and he did, and then he's like, all right, my work here is done, and I'll see you guys.
I will now make way for this other Asian character.
Right?
There's two Asians.
It's a female me.
It's awkward.
It's the law of conservation of Asians.
I gotta go.
And if you remove one, you have to replace it with another Asian.
With that machine gun, like, with Van Damme also shooting a gun way too often.
Right?
I was like, oh, put although
the gun I thought down. I thought for sure like that one roundhouse kick where he kicks the knife into Liam Hemsworth. I think just to show Liam Hemsworth that he is Jean-Claude Van Damme, because who else would do that?
Have you seen Bloodsport?
How does it feel to be hunted?
Now you won't get the chance. Don't challenge me.
I like Zimbo.
Like you've had such a long time. Like your children are educated here. You should know English, man. I'm just saying.
No, I will not tolerate any Van Damme bashing. But I thought for sure after that one roundhouse kick, I'm like, so that's going to be it. That's all we see of like Van Damme's skills. But then he gets to fight a little bit more.
But he doesn't. But that's the other thing, though. He does. Like I was really looking forward to that final fight scene.
Yeah.
Where I was like, all right. It's time to throw down. Stallone, Van Damme, here comes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it
pretty fast.
Yeah, it's kind of fast.
And it's like, not that interesting.
Van Damme kind of gets his ass kicked really quick and often.
Yeah. So. Which I had a problem with, again, just as somebody who likes Van Damme more than Stallone. I'm like, I refuse to believe that Van Damme's going to lose to this guy.
Come on.
Stallone, what? He punches. Van Damme roundhouse kicks knives into people's chests.
He's wearing a beret.
Right.
Also, how does that beret stay on in the midst of all?
And why do they need to wear that? Like, they have to announce that they're the mercenaries? Like, just dress like a guy. Just.
Here's the skull. Here's
the close up of the skull pen, too. Like, in we get a. It gets its own close up. Do you have a pen? Close up on the skull pen. Like, what? No, we don't need this beat in the movie.
Yes, they do.
Do you have more coffee? Like, oh, stop it!
They did the thing with the, when they were, there's the part where they're running through, they're walking through the forest to get the thing from the plane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, no beret there. No, he was, Stallone's wearing a pea coat.
Plain clothes.
And
that's
black,
where they were.
And backpack.
They were plain clothes expendables.
They were.
And then, I do want to say though, the thing that I was very impressed with is I know that if I had a personal trainer, and a lot of money, like, I could be...
That's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, but man, like, those guys are all still jacked. Like, Stallone is how old now?
65 or 66.
Oh my god, he's huge, dude.
Him and Schwarzenegger, I don't know which one is a year older. One of them 65, one of them 66.
I mean, definitely Stallone looks better than Schwarzenegger did in this one, but man, like... I mean, Van Damme, was like, I mean, that part where he, at the end, when he's walking up and he's got his arms out, I'm like, wow! This guy ripped.
Yeah.
I take it back about Stallone's neck because he has a weird neck, right? Like, I'm not crazy about this. Every day you can see it when he's walking too. He's all like listing to the left all the time. But now I take it back. He's 65. Like, that's okay. You can have a weird neck because you're 65. Jeez.
And so now, supposedly, they already want to make Expendables 3, and the producer wants to get. Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford, that action icon, and Clint Eastwood.
Wow.
I guess just to make Schwarzenegger look young, and Nicolas Cage.
Why is Steven Seagal's name not on this list?
Steven Seagal was supposed to be in the first movie, and he does not get along with the guy who produces this guy that I'm talking about, Avi Lerner. They have a bad history, I don't know why, but Seagal refuses to work with him.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And Van Damme passed on the first movie. and then apparently figured out, like, oh, that was a mistake. Nobody else is calling me.
That's a ton of money.
Yeah. So I don't see Seagal ever being in one.
See, it's just that's the one piece that's missing to me, man.
But I feel like Seagal already did this better in Machete. I felt like Seagal...
Oh, I do love me some Machete.
And he's so great in that, and, like, the movie knows what to do with him, and he has that great death scene, spoilers for Machete, but, like, Machete uses Steven Seagal better, I think, than any Expendables ever would. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like Machete did a better job of that, so I don't see that happening. But who else should appear in Expendables 3?
Are there other crankier old
Charles
men?
Bronson, he's not around.
No.
crankier old men that we need to put in there? Just, I imagine with Harrison Ford and with Clint Eastwood, it's just a bunch of growling.
Yeah.
We have to jump out of this plane now. All right, sure.
We can't get Brandon Lee.
No, man, all the good ones are gone. I just wish they would figure out a way to, like, use these guys sort
of...
That,
wait a minute, I know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We need that Asian guy who's in, like, Die Hard and all those movies, you know, the guy...
Al Leong?
Yes!
Yeah, but that means Maggie would have to, like, step aside. I just wish they would figure out a way to use these guys organically. Like, you're going to say, like, Chuck Norris is in the new Expendables. Fine, great. But then, like, figure out a way to, like, make him part of the team, not just show up for this stupid, awkward cameo where it's like, look, everyone, it's Chuck Norris! And then he leaves. Like it's the spin-off episode of a TV show. Just like, well, it was great to visit you, Huxtables, but I'm going back to a different world. Like, oh, no!
Cheers!
He's
the deus ex machina on this one. Which, don't think that he doesn't love every second of that. I came in and rescued you, you know why? Because I'm Chuck Norris. And I have a frozen stare.
Like a dyed beard. Yeah, like,
it's weird.
Like, hey, this is Chuck Norris. I came and rescued you, you guys. Hi, guys. Yeah, I know.
You really mellowed out, man. I appreciated the line at the end of the movie where they say something about, like, belongs in a museum, and Schwarzenegger says, like, we all do, like, haha, get it, because we're old. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm glad that the movie doesn't do a ton of that, like, we're relics, but at least they sort of acknowledge it. There's that beat in the trailer for The Last Stand, too, where they say, like, how you doing, Sheriff? And he says, old. And, I at least he's acknowledging.
Which makes me think that
his advanced
that's
fingers.
Just going to be... So they're just going to keep coming.
That's going to be the running joke.
He's going to just keep on coming back to the old.
Thing. Yeah.
But
oh, in that same run, too, with the Yippee-Ki-Yay. He's like, who's next, Rambo?
Yeah.
Like, stop it! Stop referencing other movies, guys. I don't understand this universe in which you live. So there's a Rambo? Who plays him?
Right.
Sylvester Stallone? I'm so confused.
I can just imagine, though, like, the guy who's sitting there having to cut the trailers.
Yeah,
being like, all right, which one of these Schwarzenegger lines are we going to use in trailer A, trailer B, trailer C?
Right. Schwarzenegger's only good beat in the movie is where he rips the door off the car.
Oh, that's great.
Because you don't see it coming.
No, right, you don't.
Right.
Oh, by the way, it's a smart car.
Yeah.
And by the way, Schwarzenegger and Willis are in it. And by the way, they're shooting rifles one-handed.
Yeah.
That's it's my favorite 80s action beat. The driving and shooting semi-automatic gun with one hand.
Well, that was I don't know why just this time during that movie, like the way the angle was, I'm watching Bruce Willis do it and his arm shaking back and forth. Right. I'm like, he's not hitting anything.
Yeah, I can't even hold a crutch up for that long, let alone like a powerful machine. Like, that's 35 pounds. Like, I can't even do it. Anyway.
Well, I feel like they're exhausting their supply of action stars if they continue to make Expendables movies, because now they've killed off Van Damme, they've killed off Scott Adkins. I don't know who else is left.
What's Expendable 7 going to look like, guys?
Yeah, exactly. Liam Hemsworth, that great action star. He's already been killed off.
He is a great action star.
Shoot. I mean, who's like Wesley Snipes. I mean, they really
need we could bring back the Asian girl from Rambo.
That would be all right. She died in Rambo, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
she didn't die in real life, what you're saying. So Rambo didn't really happen, is what you're saying? Wait, we didn't really retroactively go into Vietnam War? Wesley Snipes, he should be brought in, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's a crazy person now, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I think he's always been, but... Yeah, they got to bust him out of jail for it. Maybe that should be the plot of the movie.
Tax evasion.
Let's bust Wesley Snipes out of prison.
I have minimum security for that.
To join our team.
They just shoot
everyone. Just pull out. Wesley Snipes runs over here. Off in the car.
Right, the security guards just... They're not even armed.
I was just checking your ID. I was just checking your ID. Why did you... Jason Statham, why did you slash me in the throat?
I like Jason Statham a lot, right?
I love Jason.
He's great in the movie.
They don't give him anything to do. He's just got all that bad dialogue. He's got that stupid man and knife line.
Yeah.
And I kept hoping, I remember in the first Expendables, he had this whole through line with Charisma Carpenter, and I kept hoping that that would be, like, played for laughs a little bit more. They kind of played it really seriously in that movie. And in this movie, they start to go in that direction where, like, she calls a lot, but then
she's gone.
And Stallone is, like, annoyed that he's getting phone calls, but then there's no payoff. It's never like, someone's just like, she's cheating on you. Which is like a weird thing to say when they don't prove that either she is or isn't. It's just like,
what he should be saying is, we're in the forest, tracking out a mission. Turn off your cell phone.
Okay, you know what it should be saying. I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I saw?
On the other side of the world, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. The minute that happened, I go, who's his carrier? Like, what? How is she getting receptions in the middle of nowhere, China? Look,
they have really good
Stallone's
service.
Oh, can you hear me now? Yeah. I'm sorry. That's horrible.
The plane crashed. Yep. And nobody has disturbed the plane crash, so it must be very remote, and he's got cell phone reception.
Look, the mercenary lifestyle is very lucrative, we all know this.
Yes.
Only because little Hemsworth...
Talks about
Hemsworth,
money.
Hemsworth, said that it was very lucrative.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of money. He can put money in a box and send it to his girlfriend, who lives in Paris, France.
Here's a bunch of American
dollars.
Here's
the Eiffel Tower.
And yeah, oh my god, that was great.
Paris.
Like, I understand, like, you see enough still shots of, like, the mass metropolitan Asian city. I kind of, like, I don't know which one that is.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, there's the picture.
The Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that's
they're either in Paris or at Epcot.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this the Asian city with the Eiffel Tower in it?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
I don't know what's going on.
Wait.
Well, yeah, I'm convinced, like I said, right away that they made up half those names.
Yeah, places.
The first one was kind of brutal.
I don't mind a movie that, like, is dumb and kind of knows that it's dumb, but I don't like a movie that assumes its audience is also very dumb. And I feel like Expendables 2 does that a lot. And maybe that's my problem with it.
I think for Expendables 7, they should just go, like, with a really deep cut from the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, they'll have Alyssa Milano in it.
Nice.
Right? Just nice. There won't be anyone else left.
I will say, when...
It was the little girl in Commando.
Oh, when you save now, people. Over
right.
And over.
Yeah, yeah. when they find the downed, the crashed plane, and there's bodies, and there's, like, wolves eating the bodies. For a brief second, I wanted Liam Neeson to appear out of the woods and just punch a wolf, and then just fade back into the wood. Like, why not? Everybody else has a fucking cameo. Like, let Liam Neeson come out, punch a wolf, and then disappear back
and
into the
go,
shadows.
See Taken 2.
Right. Right, get back on his cell, like, turn into the woods while on the cell phone and just say, your mother's about to get taken.
He just keeps telling people, like, yeah, they're going to take
I have fears of needles, I have fears of the dark, and I have fears that Liam Neeson's going to call me and just tell me that I'm about to be taken.
Either you or someone you know, which, like, this guy's an expert.
I love the logic of it. We're talking about Taken now? Sure, okay. I love the logic, too, of, like, it's like they're the bad guys, and they're, like, really mad that Liam Neeson killed all the other bad guys that they knew, like, they were, like, friends or something,
yeah.
And it's like, you know what he did to those guys,
right?
Right? Like, did you not get it? I don't understand.
No, like, let's take him.
You're in human trafficking, and you're upset that one of your friends got killed? I think that
right.
kind of comes
right.
with the
you
territory.
Would, you would really think that maybe they're just better ways to spend your resources.
Maybe you just cut your losses on this one. Like, you know what? Let's go attack another guy who's not so good at being a CIA
officer. Killing everyone. Yeah,
right.
Right. Like, let's see. The last 50 guys didn't fare so well against him.
Maybe
let's try our luck. But this movie, obviously Taken 2, is going to turn Maggie Grace into an action star. She will be starring in Expendables 3.
Oh, because she was also in, what was that other movie she was in? She was in that Guy Pearce movie.
Yeah.
Lockdown.
Lockout.
So they've already casted the third one?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
just,
okay. I was like, oh my god.
No.
Now I feel like a complete idiot. I took you seriously. I was like,
no.
What?
No, you're not an idiot.
We'll see if there will be an Expendables 3. I don't know. Based on the quality of Expendables 2, I'm not real anxious about it, honestly. Right. I can just go back and watch all the movies that I like from the 80s and get more enjoyment than out of watching Expendables 2.
Agree.
Anyway, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can always email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Who wants to do our send-off?
What was it? Oh, yeah, now I'm going to say it. What was it? Wait. Oh, my God. When he shoots a guy.
Rest in pieces.
Yeah, rest in pieces. I wanted to say stick around.
Stick around.
But that's from Commando.
That's from Predator.
Predator? Oh, yeah, you're right.
He barges into the hut and asks the guy, stick around.
I wanted a half lesson.
Remember when I just mumbled for about a good 10 seconds on this?